Oh, sorry. I just put the recorder on. I think this is great.
No, that's fine.
Oh,
you just...
I thought I got to type this, and I thought, no, I'll put the recording on.
Yeah, so how I've responded to circumstances and events in my life in the past have come from a sheer survival thing and not really through my own power and inner knowing and inner... I mean, there was elements of that, and I've learned lots of that, but it still all was brain-focused and not heart-focused, so...
Yeah.
So it all makes sense.
It's absolutely brilliant, because you have this, you've grasped this whole thing about the foundation. I think you're the first person that fed it back to me in that way. And it just warms my heart. And other people back in different ways, but it's like to have it, I mean, that is the bottom line to me. It's like reset, reframe, center yourself, go back to zero. The second you start feeling out of sorts, so you catch yourself, okay, like you're saying, and that's such a great, great thing. It's like you catch yourself, you say, oh, yeah, I get it, and I could make this shift, like N-O-W, and you make it. But if you don't catch yourself, there's no awareness, there's nothing you can do.
No, that's right.
Yeah. And not condemn, not you know, criticize, not do anything of that sort at all, but rather to say, wow, you did it. It's kind of like somebody might say to you, I don't want you to, I don't want you to eat that ice cream. I don't want you to eat that ice cream. And every time you go there and eat that ice cream. And then one day you say, I'm not going to eat the ice cream. And they go, well, finally, instead of saying, wow, you finally got it, somebody chastises you. And so we have this as a frame of reference. So when we catch ourselves doing something, instead of saying, wow, I finally caught this before I actually did it, before I hurt myself. That is beautiful. Now I'll refrain. It makes a lot of sense, but we're not trained that way.
No, that's right. So, and I'm, everything's about the timing. All this happened, all this journey happened for me last year, early last year.
Mm.
And it's quite extraordinary because that was then when I remember sitting back in my office thinking to myself, finally, everything, finally I don't have to worry. I can just now enter into this next stage of my life and not worry and not stress, and I didn't have rent to pay and what have you. And then a week later I had this massive panic attack and everything spiraled downhill from there. And it was just quite extraordinary because my body waited. My because up until then I still needed my survival.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that my own divine intelligence waited until I was in a space where I had the time and space.
Mm.
To be able to do it.
And you did create it, after all, the time and space.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's what's incredible. So we lose sight of the fact, we say, oh, here's the idea that I had, that was the reason for me to be here. And we forget the idea and say, oh, well, I'm here, I don't know how I got here. But nothing could happen unless you created it and pictured it in your mind first, or else it just can't happen. And
I struggle with that a little because I didn't really picture any of my ill health. That was never a thought in my head.
Of course,
so
consciously, but
I don't know how that happened.
Let me give you an example. Abraham Hicks, Power of Attraction. So she was talking, I was listening to Esther talk, and she was saying, oh my, she said, do you realize that so many of you are watching these doctor shows and you're learning how to create illness? She said, they're so explicit and they're so precise about what it is that they're doing so that they, present the proper thing to you, that you're actually learning how to become sick. Now,
yeah.
Watch the show and say, I'd like to be sick. No, you're watching it because the star is cute or, whatever, and you like the plot or you like the characters or you like the actor. But at the same time, all of your senses are working, whether you are tuning them in or not. They are there. I can tell you this is like absolute. I worked with a woman who had multiple sclerosis. I said, first thing I said to her, how did you decide to get that? I mean, I can't do it. You're more powerful than I am.
Yeah.
And she, if you could see daggers coming out of her eyes. I mean, that's the first time I ever saw that. And so I quickly made this suit of armor, like from, you know, the medieval times on my body. I just imagined it. And I went, bing, 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 you know, and she goes, what are you doing? I said, you can't hurt me with those daggers. And her whole body like shook. And then I had a vision and I told her what it was. And I'm not going to share it to you because it was something personal to her. But she said, I know what that is. And then to punish herself, what that vision was about, she gave herself multiple sclerosis. Why did you pick that? Well, it turned out she was a caretaker for her aunt who had multiple sclerosis. Mm. And she knew how it progressed. She knew everything about it.
Mm.
Yeah. And since it was how she interpreted her, quote, bad deed as something of the flesh, then she punished herself physically.
Hmm.
Couldn't move. Now, here's the deal. When I met her, she was in a wheelchair for like 3 years already. And 9 months later, she came dancing with us. 9 years. 9 months. 9 months. Not 9 years. 9 months later. Now, granted, she couldn't quite move like we were, but she walked in there. She walked up the stairs. And she danced on the floor. And that was like huge.
Yeah.
And all it was she had pictured this in her mind and therefore created it. Now, did she do this consciously? No. And it happened.
Mm.
So look for metaphors. Say, for example, when I read the email that you'd sent, and this will be recorded. If you'd like, we can do this later, or we can do it now and other people can benefit, or however you'd like to do it. I want to honor you about that first.
No, that's fine. No, I don't mind.
Oh, you're a gem. So here's the thing. So let me see if I can identify clearly what you said. It was like a coating in the uterus. Is that it? Like something?
Yes.
Okay. So yes. Think about in your mind where it is that there is this exact same idea of cloaking something, putting a coating. Do you see what I mean? It's like, for example, you might say, oh, I should deal with this, but instead, like, you throw a blanket over it and say, oh, there's nothing wrong there. And a blanket might sound like, well, there's nothing wrong there. This is okay. I can just turn my values all off for a second and let this go by.
Mm.
Now, in that, do you want to know what I just saw? I saw a synapse firing, go right from the center of your head, hook around a little bit to the left side of your head, go down through your throat, and wind up right in the center of your chest. From there, it went down to your solar plexus, and I could feel this quirking kind of feeling in my stomach. And then it went straight into, now I don't have the same organs as you do, but it went straight into, I saw it just went off to two sides in my body, and then emerged, converged in the center of my body, and right around the solar plexus area and the pelvic area. And so when you said, there it is, you in knowing, but your brain doesn't have a clue. Okay? It's okay.
That's it.
Yeah, let me reframe. Your brain has a clue and shuts it down as quick as you could blink your eye.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't want you to know that, oh, no, I can't have created this myself, because I would be such a fool. Well, here's the fool. The fool is the person that says, I didn't do this. And so, therefore, it is not up to me to undo it. And if it's not up to you to undo it, who in the world else is there to undo it?
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
I get that, yeah.
Yeah. It's extraordinary. And this is how things work. So Hey, is that Nancy?
It sure is.
Hi, Nancy. We've got Veronica here from way across the other side of the world.
Oh, that's great. Good morning. Well, oh, afternoon to you.
I think it's good morning to you, right?
Yes, it is. 9 o'clock. 8 o'clock, sorry.
Oh, okay. Not too bad.
8 o'clock. I mean, you're tomorrow.
Right.
Yeah,
I hope
like
it's a good
Wednesday
one.
Here, and it's Thursday there. So
wow.
Yeah, she can be clairvoyant, so watch out.
Okay. Uh-oh.
It's already happened. She knows.
Yes.
That's right.
We're going to set up a regime here and get lottery numbers, you know. Oh, man. Somebody else just joined us here. Who just came on? 587 number.
It's me, Greg. It's Christine in Calgary.
Christine. Oh, a new number there. Okay, I didn't recognize it. All righty. How are you today?
I'm good, thank you. Sorry I'm late.
Great. I was just talking with Veronica, and Nancy just came on, too. Very good. So it's Christine, Nancy, and Veronica. And Veronica and I were talking about how exactly, for example, to identify how perhaps we might create something in our body or our mind or our emotional state and manifest it in our bodies. And then if we acknowledge that we actually did that, i.e., everything that happens in our life is preceded by a thought, there's real, real power in that. Because, or it can't happen. And so if we cop to that and say, I must have pictured this somewhere in my mind or it couldn't happen. And we were on to something just this moment about there's a coating on the uterus and that it needs to be removed. And so someplace there may be a coating, an emotional state or a spiritual state or a mental state, you know, that's creating this. And therefore it shows up in the body physically. Now, this would have been happening for a long time, Veronica, in order for it to physically manifest, because the physical body takes a lot longer than the emotional, spiritual, and mental bodies to make any shift.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So that's why sometimes we have to look a little bit back and say, oh, what was the big cover-up, you know? Like my mother's anniversary and my father's anniversary a couple of years back, I confessed to starting the hallway on fire when I was a little kid, you know. The front hall and the vestibule, that was me. But I never copped to it, you know, for a lot of years. And so, you know, I had covered that up. Now, what that did is it opened up, surprisingly, conversation of great truth for each other. And in that truth, we find healing. It's pretty cool. This is how we come back into balance.
Hmm.
See, there it is again. I can hear it. Your heart knows where it is. And sometimes you don't have to know exactly the event. Just you say, I get it. I covered something up. I cloaked it. And when I put that cloak over it, it began to fester. Like if you put a Band-Aid on something, you don't change the wound, and it's dirty, it's going to fester a bit.
Mm.
Yeah. So we just say, okay, let's take that off now. Let's just release it. And we just go through whatever discomfort it causes by releasing it. You know, if it's some repugnant thought of some sort, say, that's what it is. And then use those tools of forgiveness. Use the tools of reframing. Use the tools of centering to know what to do with that particular thing, or that particular thought form. Everything is energy, and energy is directed by our thoughts. Anything that's energy can be changed. Well, let's ponder on that for a bit, and if something comes up like an aha through the talking, just blurt it out, okay?
Something already did come.
Ah.
It's interesting. It comes to me when I'm not thinking.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
That's what we call a no-brainer.
Comes with the blonde hair.
Yeah. use that to your advantage.
Yeah. It's what came to me immediately was to do with protection, mm-hmm. and that nurturing, the nurturing protection aspect.
Mm-hmm.
And I still feel it's very strongly tied up with my son and that difficult time we went through.
Mm-hmm. Brilliant. So understand, God flows through his veins too, yes?
Yes.
And that he's choosing his path.
Mm-hmm.
And he's old enough, definitely. As a matter of fact, when we're 13 years old, we're definitely old enough to choose our path. This is when all the great masters knew who they were, when they were like 12 and 13 years old. They have every faculty needed, and all they need is a friend and some guidance, but nobody to make choices for them. But that's, we make that kind of a mistake, you know. We want to make their choices. And their choices they need to go through. And I think we spoke a little bit about sometimes when their choices are a little difficult, the answer is, boy, I really love you, and I know you'll make the right decision.
Mm.
And you release this protection, okay? There's words and colloquialisms that go with that. One is, what you resist persists. So if you're resisting whatever it is that he's doing and throwing this protection over it, it's going to persist because that's what's on your mind. What's on your mind, you're picturing it. If you're picturing it, you're creating it. Does that make sense?
Yes, makes sense.
And if you notice some things, like I mentioned with the Band-Aid, if you put that on there, like our skin's even smarter than we are. I mean, the brain is just not very smart, I got to tell you. It's great for regurgitating. It's great for organizing, putting things in order, things of this nature. But, you know, you get a cut on your hand or your arm or something, and your skin and your body has a lot of wisdom. Because what it does is it sends, you know, materials over there to place a scab and protect it, right? And then to the degree that it heals, the scab begins to lift off as the healing occurs, and then your skin grows again, yeah?
Mm.
What we do in life is we have something happen in our brain, and then we you know, put this Band-Aid over it, and we forget about it, and it festers.
Yeah.
You see? So let that kind of work out while we're talking. And I really want to hear about people's experience with the balancing in their lives and see what came up as a result. And Veronica, if you could share quickly what you said first, and then Nancy, and then Christine.
Yeah, I found the doing the balancing wheel. I've done something similar to this in the past, and I found it really quite easy for me. Just there was ease and flow. I sort of had a knowing about what I wanted to put where, and there's quite a lot of things that are all the same in the same, you know, that I've repeated, except for community service, where I just hit a complete blank and I still have nothing in there because I have no idea what that is. I can think about why that might be the case, and that's because in the work that I do, I'm a healer, and I do a lot of work for nothing, or I'm always helping people. So I don't really know. It feels to me like I don't have to. Feels to me like I don't know where to go to do more because I'm so depleted as it is. So, so community service was just a really big brick wall for me.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I'm done.
Okay. Okay. The difference between martyring and service. Like, I've been told so many times, oh, you're a healer, this is God's work, you should give it for free. You know, this is God's work. And I say, oh, this is your gift, and it's a gift of God. And I say, what do you do? And I say, well, I use my own example, actually, as someone else. But, I built homes. I say, well, that's your gift. He says, yeah, I really am good at it. Well, then you should give that for free. You see, you have a skill. You've vested a great deal of time and knowledge and effort and to be able to communicate that skill, just as I would building a house, or just as someone would do being a bookkeeper, or somebody else would do being a sales manager or a salesperson or a marketing specialist. You know, you put your time in, and when you put your time in, it seems easy. And then you say, oh gee, how can I charge for this? But yet people are clamoring for your attention. Mm-hmm. Do you see? There's a cloak over that one, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's also like when we were in Melbourne recently, and I think I said that, you know, we walked past in so many homelessness and beggars. You know, I was putting money in everybody's hat and tin, and, you know, I was doing, and I just found at the end of the day that it still wasn't enough. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't because anyone was asking for my help. It's just also that depth of compassion that I have and probably mm-hmm. take on too much. But,
isn't that community service?
And that's where I got stuck. Mm. Because I don't know.
How about when you're giving them the money, how about you give them the money and send them a little prayer?
I did that too.
This is great.
I spent my
service.
Whole.
this is great.
I had to go back into my room, my hotel room, and do a whole lot of centering and then just send love and light because my whole that's all I was seeing while I was out, and that's never mm-hmm. happened before. It's the first time that's mm-hmm. really happened.
And bless their hearts for showing you that you're seeing like the downside versus the up.
Yes.
Okay. And just say, bless your heart, you've actually shown me I'm seeing the downside of my health. I need to see the up. Because as soon as you picture the up, you're going to be there. I shared something in a newsletter that I'm going to send out that has to do with I was in Thailand and this fellow taught me really quickly. I thought both my kidneys felt like bowling balls. And I thought, man, this could be serious. And I happened to meet a Qigong master, and he said, just bend your knees a little and sort of bounce, but don't jump off the ground, you know, and let your arms shake and your hands start to fill up with energy. Then he said, clap your hands as hard as you can and rub them together and smile and think beautiful things and kind and wonderful stuff, you know, and put them on the back of your... Then he said, now place your hands on your kidneys. And they immediately stopped hurting.
Hmm.
So you see the upside. You see the creativity, the power that we have.
Mm.
Very important. So as soon as you ferret one of these things out, you say, martyr versus community service. Well, you're not a martyr. I get that already. I know enough about you. And so you are doing some community service there. If you're saying it's not enough, you know, then there are ways to sit there and complete in your mind to send out ripples to the universe with beautiful thoughts of kindness, beautiful thoughts to pray for somebody who possibly is doing something horrendously awful and send them love and send them light so that they receive that and perhaps it changes one dastardly deed into something of benevolence and kindness.
Mm.
You don't know right off the bat, but it'll start coming back to you. The more you give, the more comes back.
Mm.
Brilliant. Is there anything you'd like to add before Nancy chimes in?
No, I think that's it. I think I've never really framed it, you know, community service and what to give back in the words that you use. And I just haven't really thought about it. I just know that on a day-to-day basis I'm always giving something to somebody, but I hadn't really defined it or framed it or looked at it and really thought about it in any way. So
isn't it not surprising then, yeah, that you're stuck
yeah.
at really never given it much attention. Yeah.
Yeah.
You say
yeah.
people that complain a lot, oh yeah, you know what you're complaining, you know what you don't want. I was teasing my mother, I said, what pastry do you want? She said, I don't want this one, that one. And I said, okay. I don't know what to do. You see, until she pictured what she did want, there was nothing I could do for her.
Yeah.
And we got. I said, you realize what you just did? We both started laughing. And, and bless her heart. Now she's 87, and she says, oh, leave me alone. I'm 87. I said, okay. I still don't know what you want. This is what happens, you see, and then it's kind of like you're lying for yourself and you cover it over and then it festers. Because you do know.
Hmm.
You absolutely know. There's no way you could even ask the question without knowing. Mm. And it isn't that you have to go feed a bum, and that's admirable, and it's nice, and you can say, oh, he's just going to take the money and buy a beer. So what? It's not the act of kindness is the act of kindness.
Mm.
They do what they do with it. It's the act of kindness that counts.
Mm.
I'll say one other little story, and then I do want to give move on a little bit so everybody has a chance, you know. But it's like there was an attorney who kept going into his office, and outside of his office was this bum in the gutter, and he was so despicable. And he was all dirty, and he never took care of himself, and he was just begging so he could go get another drink. And the attorney had such contempt for him. He never gave him a nickel, you know, and he never paid him. He always would scoff at him and walk in, and he said, I've made my life. I worked hard. I went to school. I studied hard. I did all of these things, you know. Why, you know, doesn't he do the same? And then one day it was bitter cold, and the attorney took pity upon the bum and put his coat over him. And that night the bum died.
Mm.
And you see, that's the beauty of the story. You see, the fellow had signed up to teach the attorney compassion. And once he did, he was able to come back home.
Mm.
So it's not always black and white, what we think. What you may have done by helping those people. And when you help more people and you put it into your profession and you charge them, they tell more people and they tell more people. And those people help the community. Like I had community service. I put in start up a wellness center. Do you know how many wellness centers I've helped people start and never started my own?
Mm.
It just didn't look the way I thought it did. So I kept thinking I failed. But I look around the United States. I travel so much and I've helped people get these things started. There's like 6 of them.
Mm.
You don't ever know until you stop and look.
Mm.
Make sense?
Yes, it does.
Thank
you.
You bet. Nancy!
Hello!
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Good. So I know we're... I'm completely out of balance. I did the balancing wheel. I actually really do feel very out of balance, which is interesting. But I thought that all the things that I put in my category were very doable. Mm-hmm. And I've been making a little progress on those and trying to do, you know, looking at it every day. But
what if
for some reason I feel out of balance today.
Yeah. What if you didn't look at it and just know that it's in place?
That's good. That works.
Yeah. It's like, see, I got hung up on the word, it's very doable. It's like saying, Nancy, she has potential. Then my definition of potential is something that's never achieved.
Well, I think one of the things that I always do, the reason I said that is because a lot of times I feel like I go over my limit, and I didn't really think about any of these things. I just wrote them down without censorship. You know, there was no censorship there.
Yeah,
when I look back at this list, I was really pleased because I thought, oh, yeah, these are things that I really can do. Whereas a lot of times when I think about what I'm going to write down, it's very grandiose. And when I go back, I'm like, I'm never going to do that. I guess what I'm saying is that this fits into my personality and what I'm trying to accomplish.
So two things. Learn something about your personality. Just out of curiosity, how many items did you have in each category?
On an average, I'm looking here, on the high side was 9,
mm-hmm.
and on the low side was 4.
Okay. So fairly balanced, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of things, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, about 6 average.
So that's like 5, 6, that's 40 things. And, you know, 5 times 8 is 40.
Yeah.
And so it seems like a lot. But remember, you only have to pick one each day.
Okay.
To satisfy that particular, whether it's mental, physical, emotional, self-image, you pick one of those items that will satisfy you a day. You don't have to do them all.
Okay.
Okay, so that's one thing. So you don't go into to overwhelm. It's like to say, oh, this is very doable, and then to say, I usually grandiose things and overcommit myself.
Yeah. Well, not overcommit. I over, yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know if I commit to it, but when I'm writing it down, it sounds like a good idea at the time, and when I look back, I'm thinking no. Because I put too much thinking into it.
Yeah. And let me ask you a key question. Were they your thoughts or the thoughts of others?
Well, probably the thoughts of others.
Great distinction.
Yeah.
Can you see if you can define one or two of those? What is truly yours?
Oh, in this list, it's all mine. I guess that's what I'm saying. Thank you for helping me break that down. What I'm saying is these are all my thoughts. In the past, when I've written lists like this, I know that I have written things that I think that people want to see me do. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
So I was happy with the list I saw because I thought, oh, these really resonate with me, and these are things that I will do.
Yes.
Whereas in the past when I've done these types of lists, I've written things that I thought people would want to see me do.
Excellent distinction. Excellent. We're so full of these things, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So when someone says you're full of it, you know they're talking about themselves.
Right.
I call it the dumping grounds of the thoughts of others. I mean, we are mindless about so many things that we say in the course of a day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like mindless chatter, and we don't give much thought or import. There's a great movie called... what is it? Running Man, I think it's called. And it's about a tribe in Alaska. And one of the tribes, and they're so peaceful and loving, but one of the tribes members starts kind of going off the deep end and hurting people. And one of the tribes members says, you know, and in the movie, there's more silence than there is talking.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so one of the tribes people said, well, we've got to do something about so-and-so. Then maybe a month or two will pass, and they go, yes, it seems to be getting worse, you know,
mm-hmm.
and something does need to be done. And then they deliberate for maybe a few more months, you know, then they have another council meeting and say, oh, it's escalating, we must talk to him. You see, it's something they realize that each person has a heart, each person has their ups and downs. They really deliberate, they don't sit in judgment, and they wait for their heart's answer.
Ah, okay.
When their heart answers, then they speak again.
Mm-hmm.
But not before. Before it would be the brain making judgments. Oh, yes, we have to punish him. We have to do this. This is what society says. Rather than to say, this is a human being who is amongst us and one of us. Something is out of balance. Let's see what we can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
And they try all wonderful things to help them along and whatever it is that they try. But see, just kind of pick out the movie. I believe it's called Running Man. I'll see if I can. No, I won't ever do it. I'm not going to say I'll try for it. If you want to find it, you can find it.
Okay, and it's called Running Man.
I believe so. Yeah, and it's if it's about an Alaskan tribe, you know, you've got the right one.
Okay.
Okay, but it's very, very beautifully done.
All right.
One of the movies that most people wouldn't want to watch. Nothing blows up. No awful things happening. It's just very beautiful. The scenery is magnificent. It's just incredible.
Okay.
And that's another thing to do when feeling like when the brain's starting to put too many things in there.
Yeah.
I was talking to Veronica earlier before we even started the call, actually, about we have so much chatter in the brain.
Yeah.
On my handy-dandy new computer, I've made a newsletter I'm going to send out to you guys just to kind of play because it really isn't good yet, you know, but I want to see what you think. At any rate, one of the things that I put in there is like if we're only listening to the chatter, then there's nothing else to listen to.
Ah.
You see, so and I'm saying listen to the silence, and I go, well, how do you listen to the silence? That's a big question mark. People go, forget about it and listen to the chatter again.
Mm-hmm.
But it isn't the silence where everything exists. And you wait for that aha moment. Like in our conversations, things got to go da 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 instead of, you said this. And then allow some silence. Wait for the inner voice to speak and then speak.
Right.
You see? And this way we're not hurting each other with our words. We're not delivering mixed messages. We're not having ulterior motives get in the way.
Mm-hmm.
A real telltale way to see that is if you're yelling and screaming and angry at somebody, anger is your own. It's not theirs. So deal with that first and then deal with the issue at hand.
Okay.
You see?
Mm-hmm.
So doable. What else does that mean?
Well, I think it's authentic to me. Mm-hmm. That's what I meant by that.
Yeah, it's not something in the future doable, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can do it right now.
Yes.
Okay. Really good. So now that you see some of these distinctions, once you write this down, I want to tell you, I wrote one of these out, and I put it in my back pocket, you know, then I put it in my wallet, and it was all tattered and everything. I kept shifting it from one wallet to the next. Like 2 years later, I took it out and realized everything on there, with the exception of my community service thing with the opening up a wellness center. Everything else was done.
Wow.
And how long did that take? It was actually happening. It took me, I'm kind of slow about these things, it took me about 5 to 6 months before I think everything really was starting to click. And then I realized that those were some of the most successful months I'd had in years.
Really?
Yeah.
And so you just took it and you put it in your wallet?
Yeah, I never looked at it again. Until after that, and I had to pull it apart very carefully so it didn't fall apart. And I said,
wow.
Oh my God. And then I said, I'm going to do this again.
Yeah.
And again. And then you could make one up for relationships. You could make one up for just the job. You see, you could make one up for just a specific item that you want to accomplish. And you could change the categories around. So what do I need to do to make this happen, for example? Like, mm-hmm. let's say I want a construction contract or something. So I'd say acquiring building jobs, you know, maybe that's going to be the title. And I might have things like, well, spreading the word, taking the license, you know, whatever, all the steps that are needed for me to go back into construction. I would have to reformulate that, you see.
I got it.
And generally, these are the essences, not the actual task needed. So if you say, I need communication, then mentally and emotionally, communication with whom? Well, I had first put on there, I need communication with my children. So I made sure that I would call them at least once a day. And if I didn't, you know, I realized the void emotionally that I was causing me to go out and play harder, looking to satisfy that emotion that I was missing from talking with my family. You see?
Uh-huh.
And this is how we use this balance wheel. You start to see things in there. So I didn't do anything about my physical world today. I didn't have an intimate relation with my primary partner, or I didn't exercise today, or I didn't relax or get the rest that I needed. You see, whatever it is.
Mm-hmm. I like it.
So really practice these things and let the tools build. I mean, we've got reframing, we've got using our imagination, going back to being a child. Have fun with it. Just have fun with it. There's no reason for it to be serious.
Okay.
This isn't medicine to take. This is like, wow, I get to do this. I get to have what I want, finally.
Yeah.
And to have what you want, finally, means you're going to do something a little different than what you had been doing.
Yeah.
So, anything else further that you might add?
No, that's it.
Brilliant. And again, be like Veronica, just blurt it in.
Okay.
When we have aha moments, they take precedence.
Okay.
Christine, would you like to share?
Yeah, I think for me, when I was doing my octagon, I noticed recurring themes in every single category. So spiritually and mentally, I always referred back to allowing myself to do more art and, you know, drawing and painting or even crafts, whatever the case may be. So I found that those themes were recurring, which was interesting because it made me see that in all the aspects of my life, I'm pretty much looking for the same thing.
Do you know what that is?
Well, I think, well, I know for the most part what I mostly do is work. And what I'd like to do, and I've always said this to myself, is go back to school and get a fine arts degree, not just because there's anything I think I could do with it in particular. I just know that it's so fulfilling. I can sit and draw if I ever get a chance to do it, and I can lose hours. But there's no, I always think, there's no real thing you can do when you draw a picture. Like, you can't give that to someone and they'll pay you for it. I mean, some people can. So I mean, being somewhat of a practical person, I've always struggled with that. But it made me see, though, that there is this recurring theme of wanting to be surrounded by beauty and creating beauty. And even I find in the community service area, I struggled with it as well, because I kind of thought, well, what am I actually good at that it'd be worth sharing with the world or the community that I'm a part of, even if it's just here at work? And I realized that it's not anything that is necessarily tangible, but I know that what I do here and in my friendships is that I show, you know, lots of love and tenderness, and I recognize people's worth, and I say it out loud to them so that they know that it's recognized by somebody, that everything that they do, it doesn't go unnoticed. And probably I do that because I worry that people don't recognize my own, so I want to make sure at least that I don't make others feel that way. And it does good. It actually makes people feel good. And then I feel good because I thought, wow, I actually made a difference there. And there's not necessarily a community thing where you could just sit there and, you know, give people compliments all day. That's not really a need. Although there is a nun out there that gives hugs all day, which is pretty awesome.
Wow.
So, I mean, it did, it was just really interesting that it was there was all these recurring themes, and in some regard it was, I thought, well, I need to go back and look at this after writing it down the first time, because some of it was pretty vague. But it was interesting. There were some times where I just sat there thinking, well, I'm repeating myself. Is that the point of this exercise, is that I'm repeating myself?
Yeah, that's a good thing to notice.
Yeah.
But that would be like wanting to do something somebody else wants you to do, kind of thing. Yeah. But you said something I want to go back to here, in terms of fine arts degree, go back to school, and then there's no money in that kind of thing. And then you talked about you have this, what I would call a fine art of communication in speaking to people's greatness. And you're able to satisfy a part of that. What if that was the artistry that you create is the building of the souls of others? You allow them to see their own greatness by not being afraid to tell them. That's a beautiful art, yeah? And I'm not saying that that would take the place of the physical art, but boy, that is very artful. And then the real payoff in that is that you can only see in others what exists already in yourself.
Yeah.
Mm. I want to share a story about a trombone player, and a dentist, and he was taking the Inward Bound course with my teacher, and he took. After the centering experience, this happens to many people, they literally see whom they are, and they realize that they may be tolerating their lives instead of nurturing themselves every day. I call it, in terms of firewalking, if you're doing things that you're not aligned with, you're burning yourself every day rather than nurturing yourself. So it's good to choose those things that nurture you. And he was burning himself every day by being a dentist. They lived kind of a high lifestyle, and they had quite a, you know, they were kind of in a society. And he said, boy, he said, I realize I've always wanted to be a musician. I'm a very good trombone player, and I want to play the trombone. And so he literally quit his job. He closed his practice down and got a job in a band. Now, you can imagine from making a couple of $100 an hour to a couple hundred dollars a night, one night a week. It was quite a change. Okay, and his whole life changed. His wife almost left him. His kids were kind of mad. They didn't have all the toys they wanted. But a year later, came back to the class, and he was one of the happiest people I'd ever seen. And his family was happy, and his children were happy, because they were all starting, they got the vibration to do enough to do. The world came together for them. So just let that perk a bit.
Yeah.
That makes sense to you.
Yeah, it's funny actually, you saying that. My husband is a musician, but for what it's worth, he never felt he can make it, quote unquote.
Mm-hmm.
And so now he's in HR, and he thinks he likes it, but most of the time he looks miserable. Mm-hmm. And but when he creates music, that's when I see the most, for lack of a better word, beauty in him, because he can listen to something over and over again, tweak it, listen to it again, tweak it, listen to it again, and to him it sounds different every single time. To me it sounds the same. But then you see him come alive and be that happy person that I remember from when we were younger.
Mm-hmm.
And so that resonates with me, especially where he's concerned, because I always thought it's lovely for him that he has this thing that drives him. It's like part of his soul. He has to make music. Otherwise, his whole body kind of rejects everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's so natural to him. I always think that's a gift, even though it's hard when you can't do it every day, or if you just tell yourself you can't do it.
Mm. How would you then see that you could come into balance? When you look at your balance wheel, do you have your fine arts degree in there?
I do.
And do you have the time, I don't know what category you put this in, that would make sense to you, but it could be the physical, it could be mental, emotional, making time for what it is that drives your soul.
I have that in spiritual. And what was your question, Greg, about that?
How would you make this dream come true? How would you have your life come into balance, knowing that that is part of your lifeblood? Says, I need to draw. I need to put this on canvas or sculpt out of what you're
doing. I don't know. I mean, I've always known that I've wanted this. And in one of your questions in your client interview was, if you had like a gazillion dollars, what would you do? Which is a great question, because then you think, okay, no limits. And that's what I put in there, because then I would know I could still take care of my family and myself, you know, monetarily, and, you know, clothing, food, all that kind of stuff. And I could still go to school full time and get my fine arts degree. And it would all be beautifully in place. And I'd have this fantastic nanny who would look after my kids while I was going to class. Because I would be a millionaire.
So let's just imagine for a moment that it wasn't about the money, and that it was simply about desire, and enrolling the entire group in your desire.
If it was just about desire, I can honestly say that I haven't fed it enough. I've squashed it.
If you've squashed it, how would you expect them to support you?
That's a good one.
Yeah. And think of it this way, too. Children learn by example.
I know.
This is my love, but I'm going to squash that. Is that what you want to leave to them?
Oh, not at all.
Ah, so is that what you want for yourself?
No.
Took you a little longer, but we got there. And this is a beautiful, I know the people that I work with are, they're so concerned with helping others. And this is a beautiful and wonderful trait. But it can only happen if you take care of yourself. Just like on the airplane, you've got to put the child's mask on second. You must put yours on first, or you may not be able to put theirs on. Then you both perish.
Yeah.
Now,
and I do find that that's something I've been hearing you say a lot lately. The new concept.
Repetition works, you know. there's a saying, you know, it takes like 21 times to do something before it becomes a habit. And, you know, for some people like myself, sometimes it takes 21 months or something. But for other people, 21 times within a half an hour might do it. Whatever works, whatever it is, whatever you find out for yourself that works, that's how many times you do it. And if you say, satisfying part of your art is to say, let's take the kids to the museum and view some art. And then you're inspired and you go to the store and you buy some supplies and you all do some art together. And pretty soon, everybody's enrolled. And pretty soon, you're in school. And pretty soon, people are coming up with incredible ideas and wants, or wanting less, so that you can do what your heart calls you to do. One thing I have witnessed over and over and over again is when somebody's following their heart, everything falls into place. I can tell you a story. You ready? It's a true story. So I went to Mexico to do some healing work. They promised me 26 clients, people. And I did the first healing, and I'm quite psychic and clairvoyant about certain things, and I knew their whole life, and these were extremely wealthy people, movie stars and people beyond wealth, billions. They're not just wealthy. And so when that person, when she thought somebody must have gossiped about her because I knew so much, but what it, and so she told the other people, and everybody canceled. So I had to find something else to do, and I was in this beautiful town, San Miguel Allende in Mexico. And I came back one day, I went shopping, and I just kind of looked around the town, the most incredible, beautiful, colorful, musical place. It was just, people broke out into song all over the place all during the day. It was a lovely place to be. I went back to the house where they were, and this house was so large. There was two swimming pools, seven or eight jacuzzis. I mean, it was like 20-some-odd bedrooms. I mean, it was just amazing. And all of the men had gone golfing, and the women were having lunch. And they said, well, join us. I said, if you're having woman talk, I maybe should just leave that alone. And anyway, they convinced me to come, so I put my things down, and I went over and had. And do you know what they were doing? They were complaining about their lives. And I thought, well, this trip's kind of a bust. I have to admit I had a bit of anger in me. And so I decided to shake things up a little bit and see if I could get someone to cop to a truth. So I broke into the conversation. I said, you're all complaining about something in life, and you're in the lap of luxury in every way possible at a physical level, at least. And I need to know, I said, because it's really curious, what are you prostituting yourself for such that you have what you have and it's so awful? Out of the 8 or 9 women that were there, in about 2 minutes, there were only 3. They got up and left the table. They didn't talk to me the rest of the time. But the other 3, we had quite a lively conversation. And it's a question to ask yourself. I specifically used the word prostitute because I thought it might ring a buzzer or two here or there, when really the word simply means trading one's own physical and mental and emotional being for some good or service. That's all it means. It really doesn't mean anything good or bad or right or wrong. That's just a word. And so you ask yourself, what is it that's more important than my own joy, my own happiness, my own genius, talent? Why on earth would I squash it? How does that throw me out of balance? And then just let the answer come. What's more important? A Maserati? What's more important? Elegant crystal? What's more important? These are the things that when we ask each other and we ask ourselves these questions, and we come to a truth and say, wow, you know, my Mercedes is really important. It makes me feel absolutely like the king of the world, and that helps my psyche and my well-being, and you're honest about it, that's fine. But if that is your whole life, you're out of balance. So, I have this car. Oh, man, look at me. Well, then you're out of balance, because that's not a good reason to have it. Well, let me put it this way. It isn't a reason that helps you. It's a reason for separation. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah.
It's a question I ask myself frequently. When I've been in Las Vegas here for about 2 months, and I'm seeing the opulence of you know, we go to these huge buffets, you know, and I watch people take all kinds of food, nibble about it a little bit, throw it away, and go get something else. And it so distresses me, I told my brother and sister-in-law, I said, I'm not going to those places anymore. I just can't watch this happen. Is it important to be able to waste? There's some great things that Sai Baba used to have signs all over his ashram. It says, time is God, don't waste time. Food is God, don't waste food. Your heart is God, don't waste your heart. The table that you eat from is God, don't waste tables. You see, whatever it is, it's all God. Take your genius, take who it is that you are, take your love of life and put it into action. And this then brings you into balance. This makes the whole rest of the wheel make sense. This is what I want. It's important for me to have a primary relationship. It's important for me to be healthy. It's important for me to do what I love to do. What if those were on there? So take a look and see. Make some alterations. Get into your heart. See what's real. Put it out to the universe and watch the universe provide. You know, when you give to the universe, it's so huge, it can't help but give you back at least tenfold. It just stumbles all over itself trying to help you. And all you have to do is allow yourself the freedom of what turns you on, rings your bell, makes you happy, brings joy to yourself and joy to others. That is what I would even call a healing. And we're going to get into some different methods, different ideas, and what healings are next Wednesday, next session here. And you're going to find out to allow yourself this freedom, to allow yourself the awareness without judgment on yourself, is going to open so many doors. But do you need to downsize like that? That dentist, they had to downsize their house, they downsized their cars. They didn't have so many cars. They only had one car now. And all of these things initially distressed his family, even himself. But his love for that musician, that musical work, was so great. And his joy was so pervasive that everyone became happy. They found their own genius. They wanted less and got more. There's no price on fulfillment. So anything anybody would like to add in closing?
I'd like to say something. Is it to Christina? Christine?
Sure.
Yeah. I am just so inspired and in awe of your that you have something that a lot of people don't have. The only issue is getting it into your life for you how you want it. To have something that brings you so much joy and that you can lose yourself in and that you can that makes your heart sing and to have so much passion for, I yearn for that. And you know what that is and you have that. And so even if you can't quite have it in your life just yet, in how you want it, and you will, it will come, I just feel so joyful that you have that. Because I'm searching for that. I'm searching for that, what makes my heart sing, something I can lose myself into. And it's just so beautiful that you already know and have that, and it's just in you. So as I'm listening to you speak, I just really felt I wanted to share that with you, because I just find incredible joy in that alone, that you know what that is. That's it.
Christine, check in. How do you feel? What do you notice?
Just hearing you say that, my heart warmed up. Huge smile on my face that made me realize the blessing in just knowing.
Mm-hmm.
That there is beauty in just knowing. Maybe I'm not executing, but I do know.
Mm. Yeah.
Thank you for that. So
to know something and not to do anything about it is the same as not knowing. Now you have choice.
That's it.
Yeah. How brilliant, Veronica. Look at the genius within her, the insight.
Mm-hmm.
Veronica's a wonderful teacher. She's a great healer. And she's changed her life path, and she's rebooting and coming back to life and just doing the most mm-hmm. marvelous things. You could get a taste of who she is just then.
Thank you.
All right, so next week we're going to be talking about healing. And we're going to be talking about some various ways to do that and what it actually means and what it looks like, because we all have this one simple idea. For example, you cut yourself and it heals, or you have an emotional wound and it heals. And there's other things in life that are happening on a daily, second-by-second basis that if we start paying attention to, will absolutely set us free emotionally, spiritually, physically, and mentally. Allow our bodies to operate at their optimum capacities. No restrictions. And it begins right now, right here, in this balance, listening to the silence, waiting for that aha moment when all of the knowledge of the universe comes together and formulates this tremendous idea that turns into a thought, that turns into a vocalization, that becomes shared with the world, and then becomes a creative force in the world. Allow your genie and chalice to flow. Love yourself. Be kind to others. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Practice, practice. And like my tile guy, Pete, and his son, Pete, Pete and repeat. Just keep repeating and repeating and repeating. Take hold of your life. Take charge of it. Grab a hold of it. You've identified each one of you a certain place that you noticed was out of balance. Go for it. Pay attention to that. See what it takes to make that come to fruition. While you support your families, while you support your health, while you support your joy, while you become fulfilled, it all can happen. People do it. Why not you? So bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful rest of your morning, evening, or night, wherever we are. Take good care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, Greg.
Bye-bye.